Blog Talk Radio.
What's this one called again?
Public Restroom.
Okay.
Some of the best poems I've ever read have been written on the wall of a public restroom. These poets aren't looking for recognition, for money. They only want an audience. Most of these poems are about drugs or sex or bowel movements, emotion, truth. They reek of it. How can we take today's published poets seriously when you find more ingenuity, more humanity, written on the walls of the shit house? End poem. Reasons. I came from Clovis.
Yeah.
It's like 100
Clovis
degrees.
Clovis, he's a Cali boy. He can't handle this
Ohio.
Yeah,
100 degrees
hardcore.
There. You know, no humidity.
Yeah. Well. Seriously. You know, we have poets here that live in Africa. He says he's figured out the weather. You've got to meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the African, I'm going to make him a t-shirt.
All right, this one's called Poets. A good poet is a cynical asshole. A cynical asshole that is scarred, and because it is hurt, he feels that the world owes him. So this asshole writes words on a page, sometimes beautiful, more often not, hoping to share his pain with any audience that will listen. End poem.
Yeah, all right, so here we are, another edition of Nothing to Lose on a Monday night, late Monday night. That's our Monday night thing we like to do here, and yeah, that reading there was Mr. Michael D. Gosinski, one of my co-hosts here on the show, and I tell you what, him reading there, he sounds, you know, he kind of reminded me of a bisexual goth emo. eating like bread crust and napkins and shit at a Denny's, you know, late one night while his fucking skinny jeans strangled the fuck out of his balls. But, yeah, so anyhow, with no further ado, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Mr. Michael D. Kaczynski. Let him respond to that. Michael, you there, buddy?
Yeah, don't make fun of my skinny jeans, motherfuckers.
All right, man.
The one time, see, that's why I don't like to read. The one time I did a reading, the one time, and you used it against me.
Well, you know, I'm a prick like that. That's the way I roll. But you really did a good job at the reading. I think you stole the show, as far as I remember. Yeah. You were the last reader, and you pretty much stole the show, man. It was good. It was some good shit. I'm sorry. I had to fuck with you a little bit there. It's just in my nature, you know. Holy shit. All right. Here we are again. Monday night. Nothing to lose. Nothing to fucking lose. And, you know, let's bring on our other co-host here. Michelle, are you there?
Oh, am I here?
I don't know. Are you?
That's what we're asking.
Yeah. What? What happened?
What happened? What?
I don't know. I heard something say that, you know, unmuted or something.
You're muted, huh?
I guess I was. I don't know.
You know what? You know what I'm thankful for this time around? Nobody sounds like a fucking robot.
Yeah, good, good. No robot shit.
No robot shit, exactly. Thank God. So, hot damn, here we are once again. And, you know, we've got all kinds of fun stuff to bring up and talk about. But first of all, I want everyone to rise and put their hand on their heart.
Okay.
Please rise, remove your hats, and we're all going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready?
Seriously?
Oh yeah, seriously. I think it's essential we say the Pledge of Allegiance here tonight before we start the show, because we're going to, like, broach upon some pretty touchy subjects. So just so everyone knows, we are true patriots. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, guys? Ready? All in sync. Ready? A one, two, three, four. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, under one
nation
under little baby Jesus, and under one nation and one God or some stuff like that, and invisibility, powers, and justice for the elite. Amen. All right. So, wow, glad we got that out of the way. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for putting up with my bullshit. All right. So, anyhow, we got some fun stuff to talk about here tonight. Well, I don't know if it's fun, but, you know, I've been hearing a lot about this recently, you know, on CNN, the news, and whatnot, about women in combat. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, women in combat, it seems to me that they've already been in combat, you know. I mean, not necessarily on the front lines, but, you know, I remember, about a decade ago or so, during, like, the Iraq War, whatever, one woman getting, like, captured and all that, you know. Many women have lost their lives already. I mean, what's the difference? I don't know what the debate is. I mean, seriously.
One of the first soldiers up here was a woman that was shot in combat.
Uh-huh.
Shot and killed. So that's what I kind of thought when they were talking about, oh, you know, women in combat. I'm like, wait, weren't they already in combat? I don't understand. So
yeah, same thing. Wait a minute, you know, I've seen all these documentaries and all this shit. Women are already there, so why are you even covering it on the news? What are you talking?
I know. Maybe that's just the modern media trying to, you know, trump something up because, you know, nothing interesting is going on.
The women's rights thing is the big, big media thing right now, and you know, gets people to watch, gets people to pay attention, even though, you know, some of it's, I don't know. I agree with you. Women have been in combat. You know, all the women that have come before this, you know, that have been in combat, I don't, you know, I think this kind of looks lightly at them. I don't know. I don't know. I have issues with this being in the media.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, women in combat, I've heard all kinds of speculation. Like, you know, people are like, oh, my God, you know, oh, what if G.I. Jane is in there, you know, in a little company or platoon, and all the guys are going to be looking out for her, and they're going to, like, hurt themselves or...
No, I mean, can't imagine that ever happening.
The thing is, they've been in combat for so fucking long, it's just stupid even really...
Well, I agree, I've heard people debating this shit, and this is what gets me, and I find it kind of, I don't know, humorous or amusing. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know, such and such male soldier, he's going to, like, sacrifice himself because he's going to be looking out for G.I. Jane. You know,
personally, the issue I want to talk about with women's rights, I want to be able to somehow help the women in the other countries that can't even have a license to drive, you know. I mean, that's a real debate. Look at Syria. Look at how those women are treated. Look at, you know, I mean, it's combat shit. It's, you know.
Right. But, you know, combat shit, yeah. You know, so what if, say, for example, the draft is reinstated, okay? If women are, you know, able to be on the front lines in combat, then are they going to be available for the draft too? Are they going to, you know, if say something happens, say China, we go to war with China and it's this big, huge thing. I mean, is the draft going to include men and women at that point? If women are available for the, you know, to be on the front lines, shouldn't they have to register for the draft just like males? Right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so as well.
I think so too. Women can burn their bras. Then they can shoot guns and all that.
Yeah, it's parity, sure.
Why is it? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if I have to, like, all of a sudden duck out, I think I'm hearing the tornado siren up here. I'm not quite sure.
You know what? Hey. That makes things even more exciting. You can give us, like, a update.
I will
tornado headed towards my...
I think I'm hearing one. This is really strange.
You know what? Just duck and cover. Remember those old lessons back in... grade school when,
bathtub.
You know, you had to, like, duck and cover and shit, you know.
Right here live, we have a woman in combat right now.
Exactly. Natural disaster combat. There we go. This is perfect.
Holy crap.
Yeah, this is perfect.
Okay,
and, you know,
so
here's
anyway,
another thing.
To the matter at hand.
Here's another thing. You know,
But my thing, Brian, before we move on to another, why is it a woman, okay, she can give her life for country now?
Right.
But she can't. But she doesn't have the choice to spread her legs for a Benjamin Franklin.
Very good point.
Yeah, that brings up a whole other issue there.
Indeed.
Hey, if she wants to be a prostitute, why not? Right.
Exactly. Prostitution.
It's her body.
Exactly.
It's her body. And maybe
right.
We need to reach a, you know, an era in our evolution where men stop making decisions about women's bodies.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm going to be upfront here. I think that prostitution should be legal. I mean, you know what? I mean, hell, marijuana has been legalized in many states. Gay marriage, why not prostitution? Prostitution's been, like, one of the oldest, businesses, I mean, ever. I mean, and, you know, and it's not just females. I mean, you know, if I wanted to, like, go out and, like, sell my body, you know, for some money, I would love to do it because, you know, the extra income would fucking help. It really would.
Hey,
would. And if I could do it without getting arrested,
why the fuck not? You know, it should be legal.
I agree, Brian.
How often
do
you hear that male or that gigolos are picked up? Do you ever hear that in the news? I know I don't.
Well, not in the news, but it's quite common. I mean, flip through your phone book. I'm sure you're going to see tons of male prostitutes everywhere.
Well, male escorts, at least. You know, they're...
Yeah.
They,
well,
I don't think they call themselves...
You think shit.
Right. No, I know. But, hey, they got a Showtime show devoted to them.
Oh, do they?
You ever see it? You ever see it? Check it out sometime. Or check it on YouTube. Wow. Call gigolos.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. If someone wants to sell their body and get paid for it, why the hell not? Why is that illegal?
I agree,
it's just sex is more natural, just as natural, if not more natural than marijuana, right? You know, why the fuck not?
Yeah, they should be able to, Brian. I agree. I can go to Walmart and buy cottage cheese. Why can't I have it delivered to my home?
Oh God! If you're buying my sex, there'd be no cottage cheese, asshole. I'm all clean. But anyhow, so I'm gonna bring on a caller here. We got a redheaded writer chick here coming on.
Okay.
Hello, redheaded writer chick.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. You're on live, redheaded writer chick. Please feel free to chime in here about this, you know, women in combat and prostitution being legalized and marijuana and gun control.
I'm not going to speak on gun control at all because I don't like them anyway. So, as far as legalizing prostitution, I don't think, honestly, that the only reason we should do anything about it is to avoid human trafficking. I know that brings up some very serious topic here because that happens a lot. But personally, I've been in touch and speaking with prostitutes for a project, a book project. And when you hear their point of view on what's going on behind the scenes and the fear that they have because of the profession that they've chosen, it would change your mind.
Really?
Yes. And they are, you know, the reason I'm doing this book on them is to change the minds of people like you guys. And,
we are the evil prostitution syndicate, yes.
Not to say that you guys are directly assholes, but here's what, when you hear it from a real point of view, someone that's been buried into the trenches of what it really is like out there, it hits you somewhere in your gut that just, it sticks with you.
So what you're saying is that it shouldn't be legalized?
No. I think, honestly, it should be completely taken out of our, you know, the society. However, being able to do that, just like gun control or controlling anything that has been around for eons and eons and eons,
right,
is next to impossible. That'd be like, say, telling the Middle East to just cool it, just calm down and stop what you're doing.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. And I think if we legalize it, you know, whereas legalizing something like marijuana just helps put regulation on it, legalizing something like prostitution,
are you talking to the women you're talking to or people you're talking to? Are they out there working the streets, or are they part of an escort service? Because I think
all
regulated cases are different.
All kinds. And they're all, they all have very different stories of how they got in and why they're still in there. However, legalizing it, I think, would open up, just like it does in other countries where they are not penalized for doing what they do, opens up a whole new scene of human trafficking, more crime, and more problems for the women that are entrenched in it. And so to say that it, you know, would make it better, would make it easier, would make it so people like Brian could go out and earn a instead of doing what he does.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody. I, you know, despite the amount of money that he thinks he might be able to pull in. However, I do believe that that their voices need to be heard, and we need to see what it's really like, and not just a Dateline or Lifetime special view of their lives. We need to see, but I tell you, it is probably the most memorable interview I've done thus far on this project. Was from a woman that escaped a human trafficking ring.
Really?
Wow.
Very narrow.
Where
very
was it?
Narrow.
Was it in the United States or Russia?
Yes,
or?
Yes. Nope, it was in the U.S.
Really?
Right down in the heart of L.A.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
can I, as a matter of fact, since we're doing open mic night, I'd love to read a little bit from her own words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
Please do.
Okay. You know, the man called. He didn't exactly want me. He wanted someone that he saw in the picture on our ads online. But I was in the car. I spoke with him over and over again, reassured him, which was something that kind of set me off, but I was alone. I was going to ask my brother to drive me, because he would if I felt uneasy. And in this particular case, I was uneasy. It was one of those periods in your life where you just have no money. It happens to a lot of girls when there's no money. When you're starving, you're willing to take more of a risk, if it makes any sense. He kept calling back, and so finally I said, yes, I'm on my way. And right away, out of nowhere, he said, who sat in the background of the phone call? I said, nobody. He said, no, I heard you talking to somebody. Said, no, there's nobody in the car. And I realized, a week later on, after the event came down, that was his way of trying to figure out whether or not I had a driver with me. So I got off the freeway and pulled onto a street, and he was standing in front of the apartment building, and he kept calling and calling and calling me. He was a young man, light-skinned, kind of looked Middle Eastern to me, but ended up saying he was mulatto or mixed. And there was an apartment building in a very busy area right nearby, which I look back now and think, that was next to the two freeways, very close to the interchange. So he said to me, was that you that just drove by? Something in me wanted to say, no, just keep going. I didn't. There was no parking on the street. And although I tried to find it somewhere close without going in, I couldn't. His persistence should have been the alarm, but it wasn't. He told me to just park under the garage, in his space in the garage. When I did that, he got on the phone. I saw him glance back and look at my license plate. I thought nothing of it, and that's the odd thing. When I went into his apartment building, there was probably at least 12 to 14 units in the building, but there was not a single other car in that garage. The gate was broken. There was another car and a van outside with blackened out windows. It looked like an old Crown Victoria. It could have been a NART car, for all I know. It was used and beat up, kind of like me. You could tell it was probably sold off. And if someone wasn't smart enough, I guess maybe it could have been mistrusted. Maybe he thought it was someone that was watching me. But as soon as we got into the elevator, he pulled out a card. It wasn't a badge. He covered the name of it. He claimed he wasn't a cop, that he was an informant. And now this is what he told me, and I have a different theory, to be honest with you. He said, I'm not a cop. The guy outside is. He said he got into some trouble, and he was doing this for them. And it really came off as rehearsed. My heart started to pound. At that point, I knew something wasn't right. It wasn't even a pounding of I'm going to get in trouble. Because I knew I didn't do anything. And out here in the state of California, in L.A., you do not need a license to be hired as a private dancer. And I remember looking at him, I remember saying to him, but I haven't done anything wrong. I don't even have condoms. I'm just here to dance. When we got out of the elevator, he said, I've been waiting for this girl to show up, and you're my last one, so don't worry. It just didn't make sense to me. The guy's an informant. He's telling me something. He gets out of the elevator. He's claiming, he says, that I got sick. It struck me as a secondary plan. If the girl wasn't what he wanted, this is what he would do. I realized we were on the wrong floor and the wrong building from what he had given me. It wasn't even an apartment number I remembered. I said, wait a minute. He came up behind me. The only thing I could see was, oh, shit. I walked in to the room and realized there was another woman in there. She called to him and said, she won't do. She can go home. And that's how I got out.
End story?
That, well, there's a lot more to it, but I'm not reading anymore.
Okay. Well, gosh darn. Thanks.
The human trafficker was a woman. She ended up being caught, going to jail, and then she ended up getting, I know she's in there for life. But it was the
woman.
Wow. It wasn't the man. He wasn't important. And he caught
her. Oh, for Christ's
like
sake.
So when you're going off and spouting off about this, remember, there is still a human being that has to go through it, too.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing that. That was really, really moving. And really pertinent to the bullshit we're spouting out here, as we like to do. Thank you very much, Redhead Rider Chick.
Hey, Red, I ask a question? Well, I just keep going back to, and I get what you're saying, but then what is the answer for them? Because if you can't get rid of it, then wouldn't legalization at least bring some sort of protection to it?
No.
Okay.
I really don't think it would.
Okay.
I think that if we took, just I'm going to use this again, do you think if we went to the Middle East and said, okay, here's what our plan is to do to stop all this craziness. Everybody just calm down. We brought enough Xanax and Ativan for every single person from Jordan to,
we're in the middle of a civil war. I don't know what that has to do with prostitution.
But you know what I'm saying? That's, would it change it? No.
Not really.
It is. But if we legalize prostitution, do you think it would change it? No. It would still be, I think we would have more, There would be more people like the Bryans of the world going out trying to earn more money in the evening.
I just try to do what I can,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
To make some, make ends meet.
But you know what I'm saying though? It wouldn't change anything. It would, I think, make it worse. It would put more people at risk.
Sure.
And And also, we got to look at the from a standpoint of our own health in our country.
Indeed.
You know,
what do you mean, like sexually transmitted diseases?
Yes.
Yeah.
Think about this way.
Yeah.
When I used to...
Thank God
I,
for Planned Parenthood, you can get all the free rubbers you want.
Yeah, but, you know, I used to work as a nurse, and I cannot tell you how many teenagers were diagnosed with hepatitis C that has no symptoms, no anything.
Ouch.
And then all of a sudden they have it, and they're 15, 16, 17 years old. I can't tell you how many 13-year-olds I saw come through with AIDS.
Wow, you know,
so,
can you catch that from a toilet seat, a public toilet seat?
If you, I, you know, Brian,
maybe
I don't know
you
what you do for a living,
seat,
but if you're licking toilet seats, that's a problem.
Yeah, Brian, you suck on the seat, you can get it. So.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? It would bring in a whole new dimension and a whole new set of problems into our culture
okay.
that we don't need.
Okay.
And
sure.
And I you know, I'm not one to judge and anybody. That is not my job in this life. You know, my job is to tell their story, to help them tell their story.
Very nice. And
write them for a book, yes.
Yeah. That was great, and I appreciate you sharing the other side of, you know, the whole legalizing prostitution.
Absolutely.
That you're very, very cool. Yeah, and you know, going back to women in combat, you know, if you know, we do start getting more and more women in combat, then, of course, you know, we start getting women that have been in combat, and they come back home from the front, and, you know, they want to bring their... fucking M16s and stuff home with them, and you know, you get into the whole gun control issue.
What are you talking about?
And then you get women, you know, women toting M16s and stuff, and wanting to have their, you know, automatic weapons and machine guns. It
Christ.
I'm going to bring we've had someone here holding for 27 minutes, and you know, I'm going to bring this person on just to see what their perspective is. And all right, area code 219, you've been holding for almost a half an hour, and we're going to bring you on, and hopefully you have something to add to this whole shenanigans here.
The 219er.
I'll tell you what's going on. I think the lady, I don't know who the hell Redhead Rider is, but I think she's jealous of me because I got a pussy and I know how to use it. I use it in a fucking cash register. I don't give a shit as long as my fucking bill get paid. I tell you another thing, Redheaded Rider. I tell you another thing about it too, and you all want to talk about women going to war. I'll tell you right now, you put more women on the front lines, you're going to have women get raped by horny Marines. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to have babies.
As opposed to what? As opposed to what? Now they're getting raped.
You kiss my ass.
How that's going to change anything.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah, I said it's going to happen more often, you cod ass. Take the cock out of your ear. Here's the thing about it.
Mr. Standish?
Kiss my ass. I have a pussy.
I am.
Bullshit. I have a pussy. Here's a thing.
Is it a hairless pussy?
I got like a little postage stamp, they called it on there.
Postage stamp?
Yeah, it's got a little patch of hair on it. They call that the postage stamp. It's right above your clit.
Something to tickle the nose? Is that what it...
I don't give a damn what they tickle. As long as they pay me, I don't give a shit. Like this. Answer me that. You want to start off your fucking show with Congratulations? Then when I start talking about all the rapes that's going to happen, you don't want to hear about that.
Hey, we're proud of
I know, of course
here.
We want to hear about it, Ed.
And
of course we do.
You call me a man's name one more time, and I'm going to put my fucking foot up your ass.
I don't think this is Ed Standish, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Ed Standish. This
like
is 50? Someone else.
Oh, my mistake. Sorry.
Well, you're fucking mistaken. For the last time, I am a pussy. If I can show you, I will.
Well, okay. You say you have a pussy. Wait a second. Okay, so... Hello, caller. What should we call you? What would be a good name to call you?
You call me fucking Meat Curtains.
Meat Curtains? Perfect. Meat Curtains. All right, Meat Curtains. So, really, what, I mean, okay. So, you're opposed to women being on the front lines, in combat?
I'm opposed to women doing shit. I'm just telling you now. You send 1,000 women over to Iraq, you send 1,000 women over to Afghanistan, okay, you're going to have them, they're going to get sexually, they're going to have more trouble with their own troops than they are in a damn enemy fire, I'll tell you that right now. They're going to get raped, they're going to get pregnant, they're going to get killed out there.
Really?
That's what I said. But you will put a woman in a damn with titties on her in a pussy, and you're going to put her down the foxhole of 15... Corny Marines that ain't seen a female without a burqa for like 16 months.
Damn, you make a good point there, Beef Curtains.
I waited for 27 fucking minutes.
Wow, Beef Curtains. I can't even keep a straight face.
Yeah. What's the question, Gigabox?
Yeah. I got one of those stuck in my throat now, Gigabox. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? You sound like a really interesting fella here, Mr. Beef Curtains.
I got a pussy, cockfucker.
You got a pussy. Is it furry?
She already told you.
I'm a bitch. Anybody call me a man again, I tell you, I'll hunt you, son of a bitch, you damn. I don't know what the shit going on. And you can't bring a pussy on your show, you afraid that you're fucking, you damn got a sausage fest going on.
Okay, Beef Curtains, apparently you're a pussy. Okay, so since you have a pussy, exactly. how do you prefer to groom it? Do you give it the, do you shave it completely?
She already told you it's a postage stamp.
Were you not the postage stamp? You don't do the Hitler? Because I find the Hitler grooming just really sexy. You know, just, you know, little
the
tiny
Hitler.
Like.
I'm
the
talking
Hitler.
About my damn pubic pussy hair. I ain't talking about the shit that grows on my upper lip.
I'm talking about the pubic hair around your vagina. Don't make me get all English on you, motherfucker.
I keep a real postage stamp above my clit. And then I said over there, just tickle their nose. And I said, I don't give a shit what they tickle, as long as they fucking pay to play.
God. Well, you know what? Beef Curtains?
Yeah.
Wow. By any chance, do you like poetry?
Fuck, what the fuck are you changing the fucking subject for?
Okay, well, I'm not changing the subject, Beef Curtains. I'm moving forward. Beef Curtains, we've talked about your pussy ad nauseum. And you're forcing me to speak.
This,
you're forcing me to speak English.
All this talk is arousing me. Could we change the subject? I'm like drooling on myself here. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm about to like click on some internet porn here. Well, yeah, here you go, Beef Curtains. What's your
take on internet porn?
I fucking like it as long as it's free, and I tell you the time, the fucking time you want to watch is Bukkake.
Yes, Bukkake. Right, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess that's how you say it. I don't give a shit. Only thing I know, it is a town.
Absolutely. So, well, wow, Beep Curtains, you, man, you've really taken the show to a whole other level here tonight, and I, you know what, I got to be honest, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, you're into Bukkake, huh? And so, have you ever participated in an orgy or, you know, a threesome, foursome, a moresome?
I'll tell you right now, I have been in motherfucking triangles and motherfucking bullshit things. I don't give a flying fuck how many cocks is involved, as long as every one of them is paying to play. You know what? I told you that from the very beginning, and I stuck by my word.
Hey, we could make a movie. Blazed and Confused.
You know what, Beef Curtain? You know, you almost sound like you might be the next white trash Ron Jeremy.
I told
she was a woman.
On the last fucking straw with me, boy. I got that pussy, and I ain't getting no sex change.
All righty then. All right, so you wouldn't mind if I made a little porn with you then, Beef Curtains?
No, I don't mind. I'm just fucking camera and all that. I don't give a shit.
Is it going to be diaper porn, Brian?
Diaper porn. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. All right, you know what, guys? We're going to take a quick break here, and because, you know, basically, we all need to take a little piss break. So we're going to listen to a little bit of music here. This song coming up is Baby Bitch by Wayne, and I think we are all a little bit of bitches at some time. But here we go, Baby Bitch.
No, I'm not clear.
You know, you're starting to turn me on, Beef Curtains. I'd lick that
Please
lip.
Don't do that, Beef Curtains. Please don't.
We'll be right back. In
Nobody
a few
wants that.
It's been a while since I've seen you smile, but now you've come back again. Came into the room and you saw my girl.
Here we are. We're back. We're back.
Oof.
Here, live. Yeah, hey, I had a little flimmage. Little flimmage there. So, man, wow, this has been pretty wild here so far. an interesting contrast here this evening. With,
I got masturbated 12 times already.
Yeah, well, you know what? I pretty much came at least twice. While folks were reading stuff about prostitutes in L.A. So, yeah, I guess that makes me an asshole. But anyhow, so, you know, women in combat, you know, it leads to gun control because these women are going to come back and they're going to want to have, like, assault rifles, you know, machine guns and shit. Ah, Jesus Christ. And they're going to shoot up schools and everything else.
Well, you know, with gun control, I agree with Bill O'Reilly. You know, people do not need machine guns to hunt, okay? Citizens walking the streets should not have a fucking machine gun. They don't need them to protect their home. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right, it is ridiculous. You know, the whole concept of hunting nowadays is ridiculous to me, to be quite honest, because you can just go to your local grocery store and buy a couple fucking steaks, right? You don't have to kill a fucking animal running around in the woods to survive and eat, right? I mean,
well, that's true, but, you know, I can't go to my local grocery store and get a duck. Or get deer, so, you know, I mean, people want to hunt, you know, by all means.
What kind of people want to hunt?
I'm not going to let them have a machine gun.
For sport? Yeah, you definitely don't need a machine gun to hunt. Here's my theory on, if you want to be a true hunter, you want to be a true badass.
Longbow?
No, fuck bows or anything. Go up and try to chase the goddamn animal down with a motherfucking little pocket knife. Put it in a chokehold, slice his throat barehanded, especially, like, you know, try to do that to a lion
well, see,
or a tiger,
see,
you know?
But see, where I live, Brian, everybody hunts. Where I live out in the sticks, my next column for Zygote, after the one that may come out sometime this eternity, will be
right.
Probably about the rednecks around here that hunt. I mean, it's everybody hunts out here. You hear gunshots all the fucking time, and it's normal, so it's...
Are you guys
you know,
out in the sticks, or...?
Yeah, it's out in the sticks, yes.
Okay.
Out in the sticks, but see, everybody has guns, and there's no gun crimes, there's none of that shit, so, I mean, the whole thought behind the more guns out there, the more crime you have is... That's about garbage. I mean,
it is.
You know,
it's bunk. You know what? I totally agree right there. I don't believe in gun control. I mean, I don't believe in, excuse me, the government intervening in, like, putting all kinds of, you know, control on, like, guns and stuff. Because, you know what? It's not going to do anything except hurt the people who really want guns or need guns for protection or whatnot. It's
right.
Just simply... Oh. Going to, I mean, the people who commit the crimes with the guns, you know, they're already whacked out, and it's going to happen regardless. They're going to find a fucking way to get their hands on guns.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the true stats, and don't look at either side of the argument, you know, I got my info factchecker.org, and you know, people say that's slanted left, but whatever. According to them, gun ownership has gone up over the last several years, and gun crimes has gone down over the last several years. So, you know, the whole argument is bunk. I agree with
mm-hmm.
you. It's bunk. You know, so, I don't know. I think maniacs are going to find a way to
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will, regardless. I mean, legalizing or delegalizing guns and shit, you know, it's just it's not going to solve the problem. I think the problem with, you know, these psychos going to fucking grade schools and shooting up grade school children or going to a movie theater and shooting them up, you know, and killing people wearing full body armor, you know, there's something deeper there, like with our society going on.
Well, what about mental health? We really don't
exactly
care about, you know, my best friend who passed away, you know, in 2012, Eric Kruger, you know, as you know a little bit about him, Brian, but, you know, he spent most of his life suffering from severe manic depression.
Uh-huh.
And he's walked the streets before, you know, armed, like he was Charles Bronson, looking for someone to kill. I mean, you know, but, you know, what I saw from him was every year they cut some form of funding that he was receiving for help.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year they just cut and cut and cut until, you know, in the end, you know, he was paying money that he was getting from Shylocks. You know, he was going to these, you know, those payday lenders, getting
mm-hmm.
money, you know, from four or five of them, trying to pay his rent and trying to, and eventually, you know, he went off the deep end and tried to shoot a police officer, but that's, you know, that's another story.
Was my question to that would be, was when he was, when he had access to medication or funding, was he easy to keep medicated?
No, well, he took a regimen of Neurontin, Klonopin, and Prozac.
Sure.
And he took it regularly.
Okay.
He never missed it. But,
okay,
you know, he also drank, heavily. So, you know,
sure,
I mean, that kind of screws with the medications. And, you know, there were quite a few
right.
times in his life where, you know, he had a run-in with the police and he tried to grab their gun to,
sure,
you know, kill himself and threaten them and all kinds of stuff. But
sure,
He took his medication, but he drank heavily on top of it, so I don't, you know. You know, I've taken his medication. It was some woof. It was some tough shit. I can.
You know, here's
that.
The thing. I think the only medication every good red-blooded fucking American needs is some goddamn vodka and Diet Coke. Which pretty much equals a poacher grenade. But, yeah, speaking of poacher grenades, it appears we have another caller here. Okay, new caller here at the 505 area code. Hello, 505 area code. You are live.
Man, I totally was not prepared for a grenade. I left all that shit out.
Hi, Frankie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fine, how are you?
Live.
I'm good, man. I'm listening to the show. I'm digging on the conversation. I know you're talking about gun control, and I think like one of the biggest issues today is, you know, you have all the access to social media and whatnot, and all these articles start trending or whatever, and it kind of hypes the event. So anybody that has any sort of inclination towards that in the first place, they see the type of media exposure that you get for actually going through with it. And that's why you've got, like, what, like four shootings in the last 12 days or some bullshit, I don't know. But
so you think people are trying to make a name for themselves and trying to become famous by murdering people?
Yeah, it's kind of like a fad now. It's weird, man. And it's,
you know,
yeah.
I think you might be onto something like that. I mean, to be honest, I think that's kind of true. And it's kind of sick and weird and twisted. And that has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with something with the people holding the guns and doing this shit. The guns aren't the problem. It's the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
I agree with Frankie. People making a name for themselves. And it's so big now. It's so big that when Sandy Hook happened, you know, that first night, the news was covering it, and almost everything they covered was wrong. But it was such a big story that they felt they had to report on it, you know.
Yep. It's all about personal responsibility with guns. And Frank Reardon actually brought up a good point one time is, you know, there should be more background checks with, you know, guns. You should regulate a little bit better in this country, I think. It's just way too easy to get a gun. I can get one right now probably if I can just go across the street and stand there for about 5 or 10 minutes. I can probably get one myself. You know, it's
right,
really...
But not
easy.
Legally, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Exactly, and that's the thing, you know. There's people out there who can just easily get access to a handgun or whatever, you know, and just, I don't know, the government trying to regulate people, good, you know, honest people who, you know, are just, you know, they want to have their gun rights or whatnot. You know,
we just had, you know, here in New York State, Brian, we just had, you know, Governor Cuomo just passed the strictest state gun laws in the country. And it was kind of funny because a week prior to that, he did this whole stupid speech about how I could go to Pennsylvania and get a gun and bring it into the state. So it was stupid to pass gun regulations. A week later, he passed regulations. But we have the strictest ones in the country now, and they take effect in, I think, about 43 days or some crap like that. Everyone's going crazy. But, you know, I really don't think it's going to make a difference. I can go across the border, drive 8 minutes, and get a gun.
You know God damn. All this, Jesus Christ, all this gun talk, you know, and all this violence, it just makes me want to... surf internet porn.
I was going to say, are you hard again? Jesus Christ.
I'm always hard. And, you know, and again, I want to go back to prostitution because I'd really like to legalize prostitution. You know, we can legalize marijuana, right? Right? And we can legalize gay marriage. Why not prostitution? I don't know. I honestly
What's the difference between areas like Reno, like where they've got the bunny ranch and stuff
exactly.
like that?
Exactly.
Like,
I don't.
In there?
If I could sell my body legally and make money, you know, a couple days a week, fucking A. That's not like human trafficking. You know, human trafficking, you know, when I hear about that, I think of like, oh, I don't know, Eastern Europe or some shit, you know, like that. Russia.
No, it happens here, man. It happens here.
It does.
It does happen here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it happens here.
I see that.
Okay.
I see ads for stuff.
But trust me, Brian, no one would try to traffic you, Brian.
Yeah, goddammit, someone trafficked me. That's it.
No.
Someone trafficked and exploited me.
You selling your body would be like the Hanoi Hotel, man.
Hanoi. That'd be some hairy shit. But, you know, if I could make some money off it, God damn it, I'm down. I got two goddamn kids to support and a goddamn small press.
Got to be hairy to do that. Now, I'm glad you bring up hairy. I just is it all right if I read something real quick? And I was just
absolutely, this is open mic, yeah.
Oh,
so you know,
being hairy?
Yes, it does involve being hairy, actually.
Excellent,
all right.
That's even better.
Yes.
Great segue. Go for it, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's like gold here. Archie P. Kane grows a full body beard when the moon is full and throws the plates against the wall because he's nervous you're going to clean while he's trying to read out the blueprints. The language he learned from CAPTCHAs and West Nile incubation periods. He chews with bated breath and pretends he's someone with the stage presence of an early day De Niro or, say, Jack Nicholson in the 90s, when he was just overall seen as not so much losing it anymore, whatever it may be, but it being insanity and nepotism, the same hairs to pluck and bones to pick. Archie's not really a werewolf like he'll have you believe. He's just getting really senile these days, mumbling profanely in the corner of your house, complaining about hairballs and broken china that never really exist. End motherfucking poem.
In motherfucking home. Exactly. Yeah. You got that down. That's the way to do it.
I got it that time.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man. And thanks for giving us your perspective, because this has been kind of a, I don't know, kind of a touchy-feely serious show here at, you know, a couple points. And
that's how we like it, touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely, absolutely, yeah. but Jesus Christ. You know what? We're going to take another little quick break because, you know what, I have to fucking pee. And I didn't pee the last time during the break, but this time, goddammit, I'm going to pee. Well, you know what?
That prostate.
Yeah, my enlarged prostate is
What, your age, man? Come on.
Well, fucking A, 41, yeah. I massage it, man. I stick all kinds of shit up there. All right, so yeah. So, with that in mind, you know what? Let's just fuck the pain away, okay? By Peaches, let's just fuck the pain away. Good choice.
You wanted me, calling me all the time, like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time. Like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Huh, what? Sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time, like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches.
People off because we're not getting any goddamn like posy people, poetry people calling in to read their poetry.
Yeah, well, you know, you started the show with my shit poetry. Of course you're not getting it. You didn't even have a good one, dude. You covered the garbage.
I'm all about covering the garbage.
Bedtime prayer was the good one.
You know what? All right, you know, here's a whole new subject we can just discuss for the fuck of it, because it's just, you know what, it's just kind of fun. You know, all right, we've covered some really major shit here about women in combat and gun control and legalizing prostitution and marijuana and drugs and all that good shit. Well, how about, you know, I think this is something I think should be outlawed, okay? I'm totally serious about this shit because Oh, Jesus Christ, it really gets on my nerves. How do you guys feel about liking your own posts on Facebook? I think that's a douche. Douche.
Liking your own posts?
It's a total douche.
Yes.
Douche thing.
Yes,
douche.
Yeah, no.
Yes, the douche is the proper
douche.
Pronunciation.
Douche.
Douche is the fancy fucking Kettering, Ohio French version
of
douche.
Yes, Michelle, you've got to know somebody who likes their own posts on Facebook.
Oh, I know plenty of them who like their own posts.
Oh, it's fucking retarded. I'm going to say it right now. It's fucking retarded.
It is.
Don't
it really
understand.
Is.
I don't understand, yeah.
Yeah, it's a total, a total dumb BS move. BS, for people who are not in the know, BS stands for bullshit.
If they don't know what BS stands for, they shouldn't be listening to the show. A little beyond that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so,
liking your own post, no good. No good.
No good. Okay, so what's your opinion, Michelle Quinn?
On someone liking their own posts, I don't understand it often.
Okay.
I don't know
why
you would like your own posts.
You sometimes understand it?
well, let me try to find the words here. Unless they are trying to, unless the point is to like that other people are liking their post, I don't know. I don't know, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe,
I don't understand.
Maybe they're trying to inflate the numbers, you know.
Could be. Could be.
I don't know. Michelle, you're Dr. Quinn.
Was that a reach? I might be reaching. I don't know. I'm just saying.
A reach or a reach
Brian,
around?
Brian hopes you're reaching.
A reach around, if
yes,
you will. I'm
Brian
sorry,
hopes
Michael.
You're reaching around.
What I'm saying is I don't quite understand the logic.
There is
behind it, but you know, I'm.
You're what?
I'm perhaps offering an explanation. Misguided, reaching.
Wow. You're okay. Well, you know, that was very, very noble of you.
Thank you. I try.
You do, right. And you do a good job. You do a really good job being noble and, you know, giving an explanation for all those douchebags out in Facebook land who like their own posts.
You know, douchebags need love, too, I guess.
Of course, yeah. Because, you know, I douche my hairy ass all at least twice a week.
No.
Oh, that didn't need to happen. I should document it with videotape and, yeah.
You should.
No.
It can't be worse than the Elyria shitters.
Which will be exploited here soon. No pun intended, yeah. The Elyria shitters, yes. That was a wonderful time. I pretty much almost puked, didn't I?
You know me, I have no pride. I don't care.
You think I have any pride? Would I be doing this show if I had any pride?
If I were you, I wouldn't. You know, I mean.
Ouch.
It's shock. It's shocking that you're still married. I mean, ugh, that poor woman.
Indeed it is, isn't it? I'm married and I have children. Married with children. Love and marriage. Yeah. It is pretty shocking, isn't it? I guess I'm a lucky guy, huh? Because not many people would put up with my bullshit, would they?
So, Brian, how about you read some poetry on the phone?
Oh, God, me read poetry? Oh, thanks for calling me out, because you know what? I fucking would love to. I would just goddamn love to read some goddamn poetry. You know what the fuck I'm going to read?
Are you going to do it in that accent?
No, I'm not going to do it in a goddamn English accent. I'm just going to read this shit like a real motherfucking
that was
real
an English
goddamn
accent?
Small press poet. I ain't no bisexual goth emo. Like, like Kaczynski, you know, wearing his goddamn skinny jeans.
Hey, hey, you know what? If only
what?
I could lick my balls, damn it.
You can lick your balls.
If only I could lick my balls,
oh,
you wouldn't be saying those things.
But you know what? I'm going to read something, damn it.
Yeah.
Because,
hey, Brian, why don't you read something?
Fucking A.
You
know,
Michelle, how about you read something? What the hell?
Me? I don't have anything to read.
No, read your poem. After I'm
I don't
done,
have a poem.
No, palm. P-A-L-M.
Palm, my palm. Palm. Oh.
Yes. Like some sort of goddamn sorceress or, you know, fortune teller. Okay? And then I'll read my palm, too. We should all three read our palms. P-A-L-M-S.
I'll let you guys
after
go
I
first,
read this
but...
shitty poem, okay? I'm going to read
okay.
a shitty poem for all of you, just to make my nipples erect, okay? Here I go. Jesus Christ, here I go. Start fucking poem. Don't ever trust a pill-peddling midget with a lisp. That's the title. I am well into beer number 3 when Phil the Pharmacy Fulton, a 3'7" pill-peddling midget, plants himself on the bar stool next to me. Got something you might like, he says, pushing a little blue pill my way. What the fuck is that, I ask. It's a blue ball Betty, he says. Ain't you never heard of it before? Hell no, what's it supposed to do? Basically, it's the pharmaceutical equivalent of a time-released hand job. Shit, man. What do I want with a... with some simulated hand job when I can get myself the real deal? The midget takes a long pull from his Corona Light, because all midgets drink Corona Lights, right? Wipes his mouth on his sleeve and grins. Think about it, buddy. You can sit here at this bar and stare at any hot piece of ass you want while this narcotic discreetly whacks you off. How fucking cool is that? Yeah, all midgets sound like Mickey Mouse. Does it really work, I ask, eyeing the rowdy group of drunken sorority chicks to my left? Yeah, because we all hang out with sorority chicks in the bars. Hell yes, he says, polishing off the remainder of his beer. I do it just about every night. I ponder the possibilities for a second, pop the pill into my mouth, and wait for the pharmaceutically enhanced orgy to erupt in my pants. 15 minutes pass, and I'm not even mildly horny. Shit, Phil, I don't feel nothing yet. The midget glances at his watch. Don't fret, my man. Give it a little more time to kick in. Trust me. I sound like Mickey Mouse, motherfucker. 10 minutes later, I feel a strange tingle at the base of my neck. As the floor shifts beneath my feet, and my vision blurs, then fades to black. 4 hours later, I wake up in a dark alley, shirtless and disheveled, one hand clutching a book of matches, the other an empty wallet. In motherfucking poem, don't ever trust a pill-peddling midget with a lisp. Don't. Especially if they sound like motherfucking Mickey Mouse. Indeed, I amuse myself more often than not.
Someone has to.
Yeah, someone has to. God damn it.
You know, I had made that comment about if only I could lick my balls. I think you actually published that poem of mine.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, Jesus Christ, you know. All right, you know, we're not getting any poets calling in tonight. Perhaps we scared them off. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Motherfucking shit. I'm going to, God damn, you know, I hate to have to resort to this, but it's just, it's in my genes and I got to fucking do it. So it's sort of a trademark of mine.
No.
Oh, yes, Anne Frank.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Anne Frank, you know, she was such a talented little girl who, Jesus Christ, she was stuck up in an attic during World War II and all that good stuff. And tonight I'd like to open up to a random page of Anne Frank's diary. And, yeah. But tonight I'm going to read Anne Frank's page from Anne Frank's diary as Tattoo the midget from Fantasy Island while masturbating. Because
no,
you know, it's just, you know, it's something that needs to be done because, you know, the plane. Here
the
we
plane.
Go. Yeah,
the
plane.
The push.
Oh, here it goes. Anne Frank reading like Tattoo from Fantasy Island while masturbating. The plane.
The plane.
Wednesday, 4 August 1943. Dear Kitty, now that we have been in the secret annex for over a year, I know something of our lives, but some of it is quite indescribable. There's so much to tell. Everything is so different from ordinary times. I just slobbered on myself. I'm so much different from ordinary people. I live in an attic. I hang out here. And then it's 9 o'clock in the evening and the bustle of people going around and around eating goddamn fucking baguettes and drinking their coffee. It makes me so feel so special. The plane. In fucking poem. All right, that was Tattoo from Fantasy Island. Even though he is deceased,
so
was Anne Frank. So you know, oh well. You know, at this point, I don't know what to say. I guess maybe we'll try to repent a little bit with some Tom Waits chocolate Jesus. Yeah, a little bit of chocolate Jesus. Yeah. Interpret chocolate Jesus however you want. You know,
that's
is Jesus right. Black? Is he white? Was he European? Was he Asian? I don't know. We'll just go with that. And you know,
Jesus
maybe
was Hispanic, man. What do you think? They
Well, that's right. That's right. I say he was Jesus. You know,
yeah, Jesus, hombre.
Oh,
you know, maybe I'll read a fucking poem if I can find a fucking poem to read.
All right, Esse. All right, I'm going to let
Esse,
we're going to have a little chocolate Jesus.
I found that poem, Esse, that you published called If Only I Could Lick My Balls. You actually published
care
a poem
to share with
written
class.
By me. Yeah, I'm looking for it. Oh, here we go. Okay. Yeah, pages in this. It was in Zygote number 9 print. It's actually in print. How dirty. Okay.
In print.
All right.
Even better.
Well, I don't
because
know
it cost me lots of money.
Yeah, seriously. I wasted all your money, Brent. So that's why I'm an advocate for you prostituting your ass. All right. If only I could start a fucking poem. If only I could lick my balls. If only I could lick my balls, I wouldn't need to help her cook or do dishes. If only I could lick my balls, the trash and recycling wouldn't be a problem. And the empty beer bottles wouldn't matter. If only I could lick my balls, I wouldn't have to listen or understand her feelings. If only I could lick my balls, I wouldn't have a dry spell 1 week out of the month or have to buy tampons. If only I could lick my balls, the pile of dirty clothes wouldn't have to be picked up until I was out of underwear. If only I could lick my balls, size wouldn't matter, and a quickie would give me more time to write.
If only I could lick my balls, I could come and go as I please. And in the end, she'd be right in calling me a dog. And fucking dog.
In fucking
nice.
Poem. Amen. We always have to end the fucking poem. Wow.
Yeah, end fucking poem.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Wow, I published that in print, huh?
Yes, yes, you
I think that was the wise choice.
That shit.
Well, you know, it deserved to be, you know, because that's kind of shit I like. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and come right back in a couple minutes, and you know what? We're going to go with the Chocolate Jesus, okay, by Tom Waits. Chocolate Jesus, because, you know, who knows what ethnicity Jesus really was, but, of course, there's theories that he might have been Hispanic because of the Jesus. We'll see. All right, be right back. chocolate, Jesus. And, wow.
Amen.
Eight fucking men. So after hearing that song, what's your opinion, Mr. Gosinski and Dr. Quinn?
Oh, me
on
first?
Jesus. Yeah. Is he Mexican or is he chocolate or what the fuck?
I would say, given the region that he was born, I would say he was some sort of Arabic.
Arabic? Oh, my God. You mean he's a terrorist?
No. Okay, sure, he's a terrorist. I don't
know. Oh, my God. Wow. You know what, Quinn?
What?
Quinn. Dr.
What?
Quinn. You're going to have a jihad on your fucking house here soon. Wow. I can't believe you just said that. Wow. Really?
Okay, all right, let me redefine that. He's Middle Eastern of some sort. I don't know that he is Arabic, but perhaps...
Is he Muslim?
Look at the region.
I think he was Aramaic, actually, in my opinion.
He was what?
Okay. Aramaic.
I think so, yeah, which would coincide with her, you know, thoughts. He's Middle Eastern. He's Arabic.
He's Arabic, huh?
Yeah.
Arabic?
Probably, yeah.
Arabic?
Arabic, yes. But see, I'm not a heathen like you fools. You know, I think organized religion serves a purpose. So,
it does.
Okay,
for decades,
what purpose is that?
I swear to God, it really has. It helped control the masses. It really did. It was a way of, you know, in my opinion, I'm an atheist. You know, I'm just going to flat out say I'm just a terrible atheist, but I can see how organized religion at one point, eons ago, really, really, you know, helped control people and the masses. And all. It was a way of, you know, governing the people.
Well,
and you know what I mean? It was. It really was. And but nowadays, it's pretty much, I don't know. Oh, God. No, okay.
But
I'm not
going to
go
there.
You
know what, Brian? It gives people something to believe in, so maybe it's not that bad.
Some people it does, yes, absolutely, yes.
You know,
right.
it gives people something to believe in, so for me, what may not work for me, that's great, but, you know, if they're happy and content, they can have it.
Oh, I agree, but how many wars were started because of religion, okay? But that's a whole nother topic for another show.
Yeah, well, how many wars were started because of dick size? That's how I would
You know that's a good point.
The missiles look like fucking cocks, man. The missiles look like cocks, okay?
That, you're right. You know what? Missiles, bombs, and all that shit, very phallic. You know, you're right on. You're right on. And I'm sure my manhood.
If women were in charge, we wouldn't have this problem. We'd only have war 1 week out of the month.
Good point. Very good point. Yes. And you know
that's
what?
That's not sexist at all.
No, it's not. And it would be bloody as hell, these little wars once a month. Would be bloody as hell. But you know what?
I'm not sexist. I love women. I'm not sexist. I, you know. Without women, I would not be alive. So anyone out there listening, the two people listening, if you think I'm sexist, I'll set you straight. Women,
you know what?
I'm the ultimate feminist.
You are a feminist and a feminist, and I think you're very sexy.
Oh,
you know what? We're
going to
bring on another caller. We got a caller from the 607 area code. Caller, you're on.
They're all hussy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. What's your
Hello.
Name?
Hello.
Testies.
Hello.
1, 2, 3. Testies.
Yeah, testies. Your name, I mean, gosh, you know, just the sound of your voice, it makes me all tingly.
Oh, jeez. It's Alicia.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. you have something to add to all this?
Hey, that's, I have a girlfriend named Delethea. Holy shit.
Delethea?
Yeah.
Like, you delete her? Like, Delethea?
Oh, man, I wish I could.
We got another caller, too, from the 505 air date code. Hello, 505. You are on. You have anything to add?
We're on the radio?
Yeah, we're on some sort of bullshit here right now.
Can we hear some Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh. This is not a gay pride show.
Just hang up on me right now.
I am very proud to have gay friends. But we don't play the gay club music here.
What the hell? What if I want to play some Queen?
Oh, Queen's okay. Queen's fine.
And Lynyrd
Skynyrd, man. That's you know, oof. I'm sorry.
Man.
All right, 505. You know, you sound familiar to me, 505. You sound kind of like... I don't know. Can I say your pet dog name?
I think you can.
Benji.
Is that Benji? Yeah. Last week I was about to say that's Ben.
No, it's not Ben. It's Benji. He's my Benji. He's my pet Benji, goddammit. Don't make me speak English.
That's the coolest code name, man. How do you find people doing this evening? Cool code names, man.
You got to make them up for yourself. Don't do it
can
for
I,
you.
Can I be vaginal discharge?
No, what? Vaginal discharge. So let's let Benji, my good man.
Well, you were talking about Chocolate Jesus, and it occurred to me that I always get a little creeped out by those, and I don't know if I should feel bad when I bite the head off because I always do that first.
Where do you lick them?
Yeah, that seems even creepier, doesn't it? Do you want to lick Jesus?
Well, I don't know. I mean, where do you lick them? I mean, if you're licking the back of the head, that's not that bad.
You know, I think biting the head off is a little bit cooler than, like, licking the head off.
Right.
I'm a chocolate
and you want it to be quick and painless, I guess.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, crucifixion and circumcision are two different things.
So. Right.
Well, Benji, man, I'm glad you called in again, man, because, you know, you're really fun to hang out with here during these late night fucking slumber parties we have.
Well, thank you. Yeah, actually, I just stumbled in the door and turned on your fine program like right before you went to Tom Waits, and I was like, oh, that's perfect, you know.
It is perfect. I'm glad you stumbled in the door. What were you doing before you stumbled into the door? What?
I was out at a potluck / jam session. You know, at a friend's house here in New Mexico. We got a bunch of friends together playing drums and guitar and drinking. I was drinking cranberry juice out of a wine glass. I felt pretty posh.
I mean,
cool.
Was this like a slinger party or something cool?
No, actually, a good friend of mine, Dan Gardino, he's a local artist around town. He plays guitar at a bunch of places. He's a cool guy. He started putting these together like over a year ago, just trying to get all the friends to cook stuff on. Usually do it on Sundays, but we did we had a rollover 2-day one today this week. But try to get a bunch of people to cook stuff, do like a potluck, and then whatever's left over, we could take over down to like George Inch in the shelter. And part of like we're gonna start making a cooking show here shortly. Then we're gonna do that on Sunday morning, so we'll have like extra food for the potluck and for the joy tension the next morning, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you said you were drinking cranberry juice out of a wine glass. Was it spiked with something good, I hope, or
No, not so much. I think I was feeling mellow tonight, you know. So overdid it yesterday. Yeah.
So the cranberry juice was pretty much your hangover juice, just to revive the old, you know, electrolytes or whatnot.
Right. Yeah, electrolytes.
You know, here I have a great formula for people who fear hangovers is you take Gatorade, mix it with vodka, and you don't get hungover. Oh, I'm serious about this. I've done this. I've done studies on it for years now. I'm an expert in vodka-ology, I'd like to think. And yeah, you mix vodka-ology.
Now, do you get into character when you drink? Because I do. When I drink vodka, I like to talk with an accent, and I'm more happy.
What
I
kind
think,
of accent?
You know, I think. We need more vodka, that kind of accent, you know. And then I think I'd be more apt, like, if you're going to talk me into, like, beating each other with sticks and then, like, breaking a hole in the ice and jumping into a frozen lake, vodka would be the drink for that, wouldn't it?
Sure.
You guys feel me there? Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's sort of, I don't know. It's just me.
Know,
I'm a little bit. Yeah.
Some of us don't drink vodka.
I
like old ladies.
I smell like old ladies. I'm an old man, and sometimes I smell like an old lady. I have that salty kind of, like, musky smell wherever I go. People are like, what the fuck? They look at me all weird like, oh, I thought that was some old bitch. But,
I drink in private. I'm like a Mormon. You know, I claim I don't drink, but I get sloshed. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I drink everywhere, and I don't care.
And you talk in accents all the time, too.
What's that?
I said you talk in accents all the time, too.
Well, you know what? I talk in accents all the time, whether I am sober or, you know, drunk. It's just
good
some
for you.
Sort of like, you know, mental thing I have, I guess. It just happens. I just suddenly will be like, one second I'll be like, I'll be English. Next second I'll be like, some southern brother. Hello, yes. I'm General E. Lee. Yes, Lee.
Whoa.
I've been seeing you start talking like whoever I'm talking to, and that gets me in trouble sometimes because I start kind of
Brian, do I have to pay $1.99 a minute to listen to you talk like that?
Yeah, you know, I really would like to make a living somehow in the porn industry or, you know, phone sex or whatever.
God damn.
Huh.
So, Benji, my man, I'm really, really glad you called in.
Good.
You want to just shoot the shit, or do you have something you actually want to read or anything like that?
I suppose I'd have to go wander upstairs and find something.
You know what would be fun?
Yeah, I just figured I'd call and do what you're up to. You know? What are you doing?
You know, listen, Benji.
He's up to about 2 inches.
God damn it, I'm way more stacked than 2 inches. Fuck you. Don't make me talk English.
Hey, mate, you better watch it, mate.
So Benji, man, yeah, okay, you're gonna walk upstairs, huh? Can you like Benji, can you document yourself? You know,
document
like,
myself
walking up the stairs.
You mean see you have a gag?
Oh, well,
with audio, we'd
now
like to hear
I'm,
you like
I'm
grunting
upstairs.
And groaning as you walk up the stairs and find something to read.
Right, yeah, that's the wrong kind of grunt, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. Just skip that one. All right, I'm in my upstairs man cave because I got a couple. They're important.
Man cave.
Yeah, anywhere where you've got monitors on walls, I think just becomes a man cave, doesn't it? You know? All right, so I got something. Okay, I got something I wrote last night. It's not a poem, though. It's just a story. It's a short little couple paragraphs. Let me find it. I'll read it to you because I liked it. It was late. You know how it goes. I really do like this, listening to us talk like 10 seconds ago coming through the speakers. That's really cool.
Yeah, we're in suspense now, man. Read. Motherfucking poem.
All right. Read a fucking poem. Here, scroll.
Oh, you're going to have to scroll. You're one of the scroll guys. What, oh, wait, you dip?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, man, all of this technology, too. I'm starting to figure, I thought that I was on top of it, and then just recently I'm figuring out all these other cool things my phone can do.
Oh, Jesus Christ, my phone is way more sophisticated than I ever will be. I shit you not. I can't
keep
up with it.
All you gotta do is put your phone on vibrate and kind of slide it to center. That's all you need.
Finish yourself off. That's right.
Just slide it to center. But I don't have any friends, so they don't call me or text me, so I have to wait a long time.
You know
time.
What? I put my phone on vibrate all the time, Mr. Gosinski, and you know what? Let's start texting each other, like, incessantly.
Yes. Mm. Someone to text me, damn it.
This is fantastic.
It is absolutely fantastic. We all need to get off, right? A little, you know. It just makes us, you know, it just makes everybody a little bit more relaxed and just feel good. So Benji, I'm so glad you called in, man.
All right.
Are you ready to read something, or are you
sure.
still like?
Okay, now I can't. I'm gonna go with the start. Fucking not really a poem.
Okay. Better. I love it already.
All right.
Hit us up.
Cold today, but not as cold as yesterday. I woke before dawn in an unfamiliar yard, on my side with scratches near my heel. I lay here, helpless to move, helpless to see beyond the dim porch light, helpless to remember how I came to be in this strange yard in this unfamiliar apartment complex. My head spinning, broken flashes of a night not quite remembered. Music, people, a curb, an angry tree. This is not all that unfamiliar a feeling. The head spinning and broken flashes part, that is. The unfamiliar apartment complex, though, this is new. Bit by bit, the stars fade away, replaced by a dim glow outlining the building and slowly stretching across the sky. The branches of various trees begin to take shape in the light above the rooftop. As the sun creeps up and the birds begin to sing, I look around as best I can, trying to make out anything familiar. Is this the apartment that I vaguely remember from last night's festivities? It's too hard to tell. Everything looks so different in the morning light. Oh, hold on. We have to scroll again.
In the morning light.
All right. A few hours after dawn, a gentleman opened the door closest to me and came outside to smoke a cigarette. He didn't notice me at first. Why would he? I'm just a cheap knockoff. But he did see me eventually and wandered over to have a better look. He's impressed with me. He particularly fancies my little bow and four-inch heel, although he finds my leopard print pattern a bit tacky. I get that quite a bit, to be sure, along with silent notations of my inferior fabric, but he didn't notice that. He has no idea how I got here. He didn't notice a party in the apartment complex last night. The man picked me up and stuck me between two branches of a tree outside his apartment door. Periodically, people wander over to me for a closer look. Sometimes they talk about me, but I don't often listen anymore. I keep hoping to see my owner, but as the weeks pass, I feel that just isn't meant to be. I do miss her and my other half. I'm part of a pair, you see, but no longer. Now I'm just lost and alone. I wonder if I angered her. I can never hold my liquor as well as she wanted. I start to lose my balance and toss her about. She laid into me something fierce a few times. Almost put me through the wall once. I really do miss that girl. And fucking not so much a poem.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a damn shoe I found in the yard. That's about the things I write about at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Benji, it sounds like you have an audience there with you.
Yeah, I got Greg Schwartz in here, who's a local guitarist here in Albuquerque, and drummer now, too. He's in a couple different bands.
Sweet, that's awesome.
He's kind of famous. He's not really famous. He's related. He's, you know, Nick Schwartz in the comedian?
Yeah,
he's
a grandma's
boy. Yeah. Greg's his cousin, and they look
a lot
alike, so
Nick
it's kind
of
funny when we're hanging out. Yeah.
That's awesome. Does anybody else there in your little posse like to get on the on the phone? And
my roommate Corey's here, but I think his wife's off. I think he might have gone to. Are you away, Corey? All right, I got my roommate Corey's in his underoos.
Underoos, even better. Get somebody on the phone in their underoos and get them to just talk
right.
or, you know, rant or...
You got three people listening to the show over here. Am I? And we got a couple cats that are chilling with you about,
cats,
too.
Cats. I prefer to refer to cats as pussy.
Right.
So it just makes me
feel
like, you know,
some
sort of
over
stud.
Here.
But... I'm all about the pussy, you know.
all about the
seriously,
pussy.
Seriously. Get somebody else there on there, you know, and just let them shoot the shit with us. It would be delightful.
You want to talk to Greg Swartzen, or a cousin of the famous Nick Swartzen, not so famous Greg Swartzen?
Yeah, bring
sure.
on the foreskin.
Yeah, bring him on.
Stay out of the radio, Greg.
What up?
What up?
Hello.
How are we doing, good?
We're doing good. What's your name? Please state your name.
My name is Greg Swartzen.
Greg Swartzen,
nice
huh?
also known as G.R. Swartzen.
G.R.
G.R. Swartzen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And ma'am and other people.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are on this line.
This
is nuts.
There's quite a few hundred thousand fucking billion people on the line right now, Mr. Swartzen.
Right.
You know,
cool.
I really like to hear. I mean, do you want to talk about anything, anything, any subject? I mean, what's your opinion on legalizing prostitution? What would you think?
I don't think that
pro
would be,
or con.
I don't know. I guess middle.
Middle.
Got his problems.
Okay.
That's
a little too politically correct in my face. What's that?
Are you talking like escort, or are you talking like
I'm talking about like
up
just legalizing prostitution? Like
you would have to. It would have to be the whole all or nothing. I think.
Like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, legalized prostitution.
So I guess it depends on the girl's looks, you know, if she's
no, it doesn't matter on that.
I
mean,
the beautiful
legalized
ones you take out on a date.
Having their ankles, they all look the same. What do you mean looks?
Well, dude, I've seen some hookers that were definitely hot, and I've seen some hookers that not so much. But I am from New Mexico. I'm from New Mexico, you know. Well, Denver, there was training hookers, but at least they still look good. You know what I mean? They just
if a hooker looked good in Denver, she was probably a train.
That's true.
Ugly,
I heard Ben, but he said that if a hooker looks good in Denver, she's probably a train.
All right. Well, here's the thing, you know. Gay marriage has been legalized, right?
Oh,
in
that's awesome.
States.
I love it. I think it's cool.
Marijuana, you know, and weed has been legalized. Why can't we have, you know, prostitution legalized?
Well,
I mean,
I guess the only way to really truly make that work is to kind of have a miniature form of a red light district in every town. You have the area that you go to do it, and that's
right.
what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
hey, I don't know.
That eliminates confusion.
No, that's
it eliminates
a good point.
Confusion.
That's...
Money still gets flown through. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
People are still using their money.
The government could tax it and make more money to keep our military
industry.
But then
wouldn't that kind of go with human trafficking?
No,
it's trafficking.
Because you're taxing off of what they're doing.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I guess it could be a business. Yeah,
that's
it's
a
service to the people.
Exactly, service to the people. I agree.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't see that being too bad.
Prostitute or sandwich. That's all we need.
That's true, huh? Just a sandwich at the end. A cigarette and a sandwich.
Yeah, that's it.
Hell, make it a blunt. You won't even make it do the blunt.
$5
anyway.
Footlong.
That's out.
What? A cigarette sandwich.
Footlong. Oh, that's nasty. I want a $5 footlong. Did it cut? No, but yeah, I don't know. That
okay.
Sounds like it'd be a good
idea. Yeah,
what else
yeah,
you guys
cool.
want to know?
Cool to hear from you, man. What else
sure.
do I want to know? I don't know.
You guys are in Denver, right?
No, he's in
Indiana. Oh, you're in Indiana tonight or whatever?
Indiana.
No, I'm in Kettering, Ohio.
Livestock. We're not from Indiana.
You're in Ohio, okay.
Hey!
this show is man. Generating from Kettering, Ohio, and there's a bunch of other, like, special people who I call my co-hosts who radiate from New York and Indiana. Yeah, no, yeah, we're pretty diverse.
Sorry,
yeah,
Michelle,
and
I didn't know you were from Indiana.
There you go.
I'm raising livestock.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Well, if you guys are ever in Denver, there's a guy who plays a guitar and an electric guitar with backbeats in an alley downtown by 16th Street Mall.
Yep.
And he plays Friday and Saturday night. And he's amazing. His name is Brett Dionich, and he's incredible. The dude definitely needs to be discovered for sure.
The only reason I had to come to Denver was Tebow, and he's gone.
Tebow, and he's gone.
Oh, God.
Tebow's
in New York, and he
didn't see
Tebow. Who cares where Tebow goes? Tebow needs to learn how to throw.
He does.
I just wanted to lose my anal virginity to Tebow. And
it was creepy, though, when he won that game right before the playoffs, last year, the last time he played with Denver, obviously. There
right.
was a freaking cloud halo over the stadium. That shit
Denver.
Was nuts.
I mean, you know, Denver fans
yeah.
can say what they want, but even Peyton Manning choked.
I knew that was
going to
happen anyway. Peyton Manning, I don't think he choked. I think the whole team kind of.
No, Denver, after week four, Denver played nobody. So, you know, I mean, that was.
Yeah. That's
played
true.
A bunch of nobody. So.
Yeah.
You know. But hey.
Yeah, you know.
But other than that.
Losing my anal virginity to Tebow, that was my hope. And
so well, you know.
I kind of imagined he would be the one to do it, truthfully.
Yeah. I was hoping to do it
like,
in his hospital
like, oh,
in the Philippines.
Right,
you know,
come on.
If you go to the Philippines, you can call me a dog, whatever you
want
to do.
Okay, ultimately, Tim Tebow went to the New York Jets and became a third-string quarterback and a complete nothing.
Yeah, he's not even a quarterback
you know
with the
happen.
Jets. I mean, Jesus. Hey, fuck.
There's
and you know what?
He's a comedian, you know.
Oh, he's not even that. He's a Jesus freak. But anyhow, ultimately, listen, guys, listen. we're all about, what's his name? The 49ers quarterback. Kisses his biceps because of his tattoos. Capernicking.
Oh,
I guess
yeah, that
he heard
guy, yeah.
he trademarked it,
yeah.
and that's the new
yeah.
fucking thing.
Paper
so.
Stuff, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Football is funny, and so was Greco-Roman wrestling.
Wow!
Oh yeah, nice and greased down.
It takes you back, huh?
Delicious, delicious. Yes, Greco-Roman wrestling. Yes, while lubed up in Cisco cooking oil. Yeah,
lubed
that
up.
Is cloud. Yeah.
Hey. So this girl hit me up, so I think I'm going to go see her.
All right. Go get it.
I would choose a woman or a Boucher any day.
Right? Well,
yeah.
I don't know. It was good talking to you guys for sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
come on, man.
You were
fun, and you should call in again and hang out, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely will do. I'm over here usually when we're listening to it, so definitely I'll hop on the line
excellent.
And say what up. If I could do
awesome.
Three shout-outs?
Sure.
Would I just say cool? First shout-out is John Fortson, which is Nick's brother. He's a guitarist that's up in Minnesota, St. Paul. Definitely check him out.
Cool.
Kind of a
cool.
like funky, folky kind of acoustic awesomeness. And my band, which is Band With No Name, and also the new one I joined up playing drums for, which is the Glass Band, which was Dan Gardino, the glassblower. So, doing some reggae. And it's good
cool.
stuff. So, yeah.
Well, cool. Definitely do you
out.
Have a website
kind of
that people can? Could access? Or?
I believe the Glassman is also on Reverb Nation.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And we're putting a page together for him over
we're
at
putting
the Occupy Underground as
yeah.
well.
Ben will tell you more about it, but we're putting a page for him together over at the Occupy Underground magazine.
Excellent.
Facebook, I believe.
Yeah.
And then bandwidthnoname.com.
Bandwidthnonname.com.
Well, yeah, we'll be coming. That one's coming. But if you type it into Facebook, we have a Facebook for it, but we're working on getting the website established.
Sweet. Well, cool.
Yeah. And then my solo project also, GR Swartzen. You can find me on YouTube. Type in Swartzen and you'll find both me and Nick.
Excellent. Thanks for hanging out with us and shooting the shit. That's what we're all about, having fun and shooting the shit. And I appreciate it. And I'm glad good old Benji, my good man Benji, called in.
Benji.
My little Ewok-looking dog from the 70s. Yes.
That's
good Lord.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go have some fun, and I'll talk to you guys probably next week.
All right.
Take care,
man.
Later. Peace, world, whoever's listening. Later.
Adios, amigos.
All 2.5 people that are listening. Yeah.
2.5.
Yeah.
2.5, yeah. We got a half person listening
now. Yeah, and my chocolate Jesus is the other half. We got 3 minutes left, boys and girls, and you know what? Motherfuck. We have, I think we've rocked this once again. I think we have pretty much made this happen, and it's been a fun ride, and if either one of you have anything to add at the last second, Kaczynski or Michelle?
No.
No?
No.
No. Michelle, you're not going to grace us with some sort of, flatulence?
No, I'm not going to greet you with some sort of flatulence.
Oh, man. I could have been saving that up. I didn't know that was an option.
Oh, Benji, you're still there. You got some flatulence to share.
I just jumped in from out of nowhere.
You're awesome, Benji.
Please, damn it. Please.
All right, yeah, we've got 2 minutes left in the show, and I guess we're going to wrap it up here. And, wow, you know, it's been fun.
Ryan, I think I like that you're doing this. I'll try to call in and bug you regularly.
Oh, I hope you do,
please,
man.
Please do.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because you're fucking funny as hell, and yeah. And I like calling somebody Benji. But seriously, man, I enjoyed meeting you and everything in Albuquerque and everything, and you're funny as fucking hell. And I'm glad you call in.
Regular is good. Benji and the Foreskins.
And the Foreskins. That'll be my next band.
Sounds like a great band name.
Wasn't that the guy's name? Greg Foreskin or something?
Swartzen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we got 90 seconds left. Guys, we're going to have to wrap this up because we're gonna get cut off by the fucking Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, well,
by the man. English accent.
Play the out music.
It's the man.
Play the out
it's
music.
The robot.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna fade out with some ween here. Buenos tardes, amigo. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Tardes.
Amigo. Hola, my good friend. Cinco de Mayo on Tuesday, and I hoped we'd see each other again. You killed my brother last winter. You shot him 3 times in the back in the night. I still hear mama weeping. Oh, mama still dresses in black
I looked at every fiesta. For you, I wanted to greet. Maybe I'd sell you a chicken with poison interlaced with the meat. You look like my brother. Mama loved him.